I know it goes against what you're saying, but like a 23 movie arc for Magneto. Can you imagine that?
Oh my God. Or Doctor Doom. I feel like
Yeah, oh my gosh, 46 movie arc between the two of them.
Want to take us on a little side quest.
Goku's one of the greatest anime heroes of all time. He's badass. He's awesome.
Dude, hands down, Final Fantasy VII wins every day.
How could you not love the Mario Brothers movie?
RoboCop kicks everyone else's ass.
And that's why Superman sucks.
Oh, the Velociraptors kick ass in Jurassic Park every single day.
Oop, went on a bit of a rant there, huh?
Oh, welcome back, everybody, to the SideQuest podcast. This is Eric, and I've got some terrible, terrible news. We got to kick this off right away with an oldie but goodie segment, and I'm taking this one over, ref, so I apologize, but we're kicking off this episode with an emergency reference. Let's go.
Mass Effect is the greatest game. I mean, that's it. How many reasons do you want me to tell you? I keep telling you, this is why Superman sucks. Well, I'm going off on a bit of a rant there. Just pick up a fantasy novel. It's not that hard! You have no idea what you're talking about. I do. Reference!
So this is a reference. I'm stealing it. Usually it's ref that does this, but I gotta take this one. I finally saw Doctor Strange this past weekend, and ooh boy, was that a very interesting pile of shit in the form of a lot of different multiverses. But I was just, the more I thought about it, I let it kind of, you know, take a day or two to think about it, but oh my God, that movie had a lot of problems. The plot was not fun to follow. A lot of it didn't make sense. The things they tried to do in that movie didn't quite work. I will say one positive thing. I did enjoy Sam Raimi's his directing style. I liked how he brought a fresh, or I guess his own spin, but for us in the MCU, kind of a fresh spin on how he shoots movies. And I'm glad he kept it like Raimi style, which is cool. But outside of that, I've got some problems. All right, let me start with number one. America Chavez doesn't know how to use her powers. And then by the end of the movie, after what, a day and a half, maybe tops, maybe a day, all he has to do is give a little pep talk to say, you just got to believe in yourself and use your powers. You can do it all along. Oh, okay, cool. So I can do it now, even though she's, what, 20-something years old, never been able to do it? Okay. Problem number one. Problem number two, our boy Wong, as soon as, he was captured and she needed the Darkhold and she needed a place where she can go get the second copy, four nobodies are held hostage, and he immediately gives up, like, the thing that could destroy the multiverse. So there wasn't even, like, any reason for him to do that other than these four extras that we just met. He's supposed to be the Sorcerer Supreme. He's supposed to be like, Mr. Doesn't matter who it is, I'll never give stuff up, and he just so willingly gives it up. That was dumb. And then third and final point, because I could go on for hours, and I don't want this to last for the entire episode, but the Illuminati was a half-thought, and they shoved it in there for fan service, and I'm just overall disappointed in their impact in the movie. And I get it; it's for an artistic reason, and the reason why they, you know, felt like doing that, cool. But there was no point to them at all. There was zero point. They added nothing of value. They worked their whole lives; they're geniuses, this, that, and the other. And I get it; it's to show how powerful Wanda is, that she can just tear them apart in seconds. Like, I get that. But the Illuminati was just no reason for it. Oh, and fourth, sorry, I got to go one more. Mordo, they never closed the loop on him. At the end of Doctor Strange 1, which we watched the night before just to catch up and make sure we didn't miss anything, he says no more sorcerers, and he's kind of on this path, and he seems like he's going to at least be involved a little bit more than getting his ass whooped in hand-to-hand combat, and then he's gone for the rest of the movie. So there's like no loop closed there, no loose ends. So anyways, holy shit, I didn't even take a breath, but I'm sure you guys got a little bit of feedback. Fight me on it. But I was overall just so sad. How long I waited to see that movie and how disappointed I was. So I'm sorry, everybody out there, that you had to listen to that, but holy shit.
I noticed you used a lot of big words. And, you know, I wasn't listening to half of it, but who cares? Because I gave you an A.
Thank you. Thank you.
What would you rate it out of 10?
All right. I'll give it a 5. I want to give it more points, but to me, like, it kind of goes now my sequence of, like, the worst movies in Marvel. I would even go, like, Black Widow, Thor the Dark World, and now Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness. I feel like it didn't really add a lot of value. It just opened a lot of doors, and I feel like they used it as an excuse to just introduce a whole bunch of weird bullshit that now we have to take as, oh, now there's incursions, and there's an Illuminati, and we can multiverse jump through stuff. And, like, it did too much. It opened too many doors. And, Jeff, you said this in the last episode, because I finally listened to it, so I'm not going to use your words, but you mentioned that it took you about half the movie to figure out what the hell you were watching. And to me, that was, like, more than halfway. I'm just like, what are we going for? What are we trying to do? So 5 out of 10, that's my score.
Crickets, apparently.
Gloves are coming off. Jeff, I feel like Jeff disagrees. I just want to hear, are there any counterpoints to some of those plot holes or weird things that happened that you saw?
No, I don't really disagree. Like I said last time, I liked when they let Sam Raimi do his thing.
Yeah.
And you could tell when there was corporate stuff put in there, and then there's Sam Raimi doing it. So, hopefully they just get more Sam Raimi just to go full on.
Yeah.
Like what he gets to do, like Ragnarok was. And then, do more horror kind of scarier stuff with Strange in the future. And being like, okay, what worked, what didn't work? What worked was Sam Raimi going off the walls. What didn't work was... And I also read that Sam Raimi came in later into the film.
Yeah, I forgot who left the director seat beforehand, but yeah.
If anything, I think this solidified, like, hey, let's give Sam Raimi his own reins over something from the beginning to the end.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm excited about. So,
yeah.
Like you said, I like his style. I like, you could tell when he was doing stuff, it was going well. And then when he wasn't doing his stuff, it was just, you know, some of your points, Eric. So that's all I got.
Okay. Fair enough. Justin, how about you? I mean, obviously you guys spent 30 minutes last episode talking a lot about it. So just seeing if we clicked on any of those. I think we did on some points.
Yeah, we definitely did. The only thing that I would disagree, I guess there's 2 points I would disagree with, is one, I enjoyed seeing the Illuminati because that's a big thing.
Yes.
And did they do it right? Maybe not. But... And then the other point that I would disagree with on yours is all the doors that they opened. I feel like maybe this movie is like a way station. And when we get to a couple of movies down the line, we will appreciate it a little bit more.
I hope maybe. You're right. I mean, I hope you're right. And I know for a fact I will give this movie a second viewing when it comes out. I'm not going to run back to the theater to go watch it. But to me, there's just so much that they tried to do, and they, you know, again, it was awesome. Like, from a visual standpoint, to me, this is like top three of like cinematic fun visuals. Like when they did that little slow-mo throughout all the multiverses, that, I mean, that's going to go down in history as one of the coolest MCU scenes, just like in and of itself. Yeah, one of the best CGI scenes.
Yeah. The CGI and the fight stuff and all that stuff. I think for you, Eric, if you just watched it for the fun of it, and not all the story part.
Caught
up a bit, then it's like, all right, this is fucking cool.
Yeah, and here's the other, the last piece. Like, Wanda pulling the whole Daenerys from Game of Thrones. Like, from WandaVision to the first 3 minutes she's on screen, all of a sudden she's the biggest, baddest villain, and she'll stop at nothing. And she kind of, as smart as she is, like, I get it, she's so clouded with... her kids and her children, and they're real, this and that. It's like, you know, Doctor Strange just walked up, and I'm sure this will be the honest trailer, but it's like he walks up and says, your kids aren't real. And she's like, oh, okay. And then it's end of movie, because there's no multiverse of madness. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me, and I get it. She's controlled by the Darkhold, and it took over her mind, and her fingers are black. Okay, cool. But, like, Yeah, I don't know. I'll watch it again at some point when it comes out. I'm sure I'll pick up on some cool, fun stuff that happened. But Justin, like you said, it might be this kind of interesting way station of, you know, hopefully some of this will pick up elsewhere and make us excited about it. But I did want to add one more thing just in general and of Marvel. Justin, we were talking this a little bit offline, but you know, what I heard, because I think a lot of people are comparing Phase 1, 2, and 3, where it was like the 23 movie, everything leading up to this Thanos moment. Kevin Feige, and I'll have to find the clip and post it online, because a lot of people are like, what? I never heard that. Is that Kevin Feige actually stated after Endgame, he's like, hey, listen, Phase 4 and 5, we're doing more like micro arcs. Like every 2 to 3 movies is going to have kind of a full completion of villains and heroes, and like we're not doing any more 20 more movies for the big bad. So I know a lot of people are thinking like, ooh, Kang, he's going to be like in a little bit in each movie or each show, and like he's going to be the next big bad. But I honestly think they're going to wrap it up with like the next Ant-Man movie. I think like him being in Loki and then him being in Ant-Man, like I think that's kind of it. So I think some of these movies, like that's why I wonder what they're trying to do, because where is this next, you know, where does Doctor Strange go next, right? And where does this story go next when they open up all these multiversal portals? So it's kind of cool to think about, but I wonder how they're going to pull it off.
I really hope that they do an incursion between 818, and I mentioned this in the other episode, in 616 of Professor X's world, which mutants are confirmed to be in.
Yeah.
And then we get Avengers versus X-Men, and then we get, I know it goes against what you're saying, but like a 23 movie arc for Magneto. Can you imagine that?
Oh my God. Or Doctor Doom. I feel like.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. 46 movie arc between the two of them. We've got movies to 2072.
God, it's going
to be. Everyone's dead in real life, but let's continue doing this.
Yeah. That'd be so funny if Feige's big FU to all this at the end is like just Tony Stark wakes up from a drunken nap on the couch being like, huh, wouldn't that be cool? And like none of the movies actually ever happened.
Oh my gosh.
Just the biggest. That's actually,
yeah.
Go Feige.
You're onto something there.
Well, hey boys, let's go straight into our next segment. We got segment after segment tonight. I want to do a little bit of death battle. Jeff, you got a good one. So coming right up here. Get on.
Flawless victory.
Ooh, yeah. Segment number two. So, Jeff, with the honors, go for it. Who is pitted against who in this special death battle?
Yes, yeah, so we're going to pit Wanda, Scarlet Witch, against Jean Grey as the Phoenix.
Wow.
I guess we'll start with movie versions, then to the comic versions.
Okay.
And Justin might have to help us with the comic versions, because Eric, you and I aren't going to be as privy to those. You know, I know a little bit more about Phoenix just because I'm more into the more cosmic Marvel stuff, but I know Justin's more, when it comes to X-Men, pretty much just an expert on that topic.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll just kick things off here, and I'll start with like the movie version. So, you know, obviously, all right, I got to put this one aside because I did not watch the latest with what's her name from Game of Thrones. I never watched that movie because I just heard so many bad things. I didn't even want to start it. So I'm going to go off of like the Jean Grey from the original trilogy.
They've done her twice. Yeah.
So I'm going to at least go off the one that I definitely know for a fact, kind of her arc and her story, because I didn't really follow after the apocalypse, that shit. And then anyway, so going back to what I know about her and what I saw in the movie is like I definitely know she's incredibly powerful. Like she is, if not one of the strongest X-Men out there in existence, who is dangerous and seems like she loses control and seems like she could easily just tear people apart by the atom if she really wanted to with her powers. And so, I mean, if you pit her against Scarlet Witch and what we just saw her do, I mean, she chose violence that whole movie. She was just tearing it up. And I got to admit, the Illuminati, I shat on it. But it was for the sake of that quality destruction and death that she just caused so quickly. Everybody in the theater was like, jaws dropped. I'm like, oh my God, we just saw it. But if she can do that very easily to some of the strongest, not even mutants, but just superheroes and smartest people very quickly, especially Professor X, then, you know, oh God, this is a fucking tough one. I would say just based on abilities, and what I know from the movies, I'm gonna go with Scarlet Witch because I feel like she makes it look easy. I feel like Phoenix, it takes her a while. She's got to charge up. She's really got to think about her kind of turn to the dark side. And I feel like the Scarlet Witch is already there and she's ready to fuck shit up. So I'm just gonna go with Scarlet Witch. That's my final answer right there.
All right. What about comic version?
Oh gosh, Justin's gonna have to take that one. Once I know more, I'm not gonna steal your answer, Justin. But I want to learn more a little bit about Phoenix as opposed to Scarlet Witch.
Yeah, I guess I'll go next before Justin starts.
Okay, go for it.
For movie versions, you know, Eric, I'm just gonna have to mimic kind of you. We haven't the Phoenix in the movies. Seems like a very early stage of Phoenix, or just she doesn't really know how to control it well, or whatever. And this recent Scarlet Witch seems amped up to hell. I mean, I'd arguably saying she's one of the strongest things we've ever seen in Marvel yet. She clearly, without Thanos with the Infinity Rings, probably could kick his ass. She clearly easily took down Captain Marvel. I don't think there's anyone stronger than her at the moment. Maybe Hela is on her same level. I'm not sure. But so I'd have to agree with you. The Phoenix in the movies just didn't make sense. I remember in the original X-Men, she could, like, Magneto's like, I can take a gun apart with metal. But she can take the gun apart on all the pieces. I was like, all right, that's a super cool ability. It's hard to tell with the Phoenix in the movies. Yeah, she's super strong, arguably stronger than most any of the MCU stuff, but I think this new Scarlet Witch was super amped up. So I agree with you, Eric, on the movie versions, Scarlet Witch. In the comics, that's where it gets super tricky. I mean, I read some stuff about them, but it seems like Phoenix, or like amped up Jean Grey, full. I think there's a Phoenix. She has different versions of Phoenix that she. There's like Dark Phoenix, I think. Then there's one called Phoenix of the White Crown or something that apparently the Living Tribunal is freaked out about, who like controls all balance in the universe. So I think Phoenix comic would be a little too much for Jean. I even think Phoenix like tussles with Galactus like multiple times.
Yeah.
I don't think Scarlet Witch has ever done that. I know she can rewrite history, but I do know in the comics, I'm reading this, you know, more cosmic comic now, and Thanos, what I'm reading now, like became all powerful and then kind of got bored. So he kind of gave that up. But Adam Warlock and a few other of these characters knew that he did that. So I think at a certain level, even Phoenix could kind of avoid. So I don't even think the Infinity Stones work on everything for the most part. But I think there's a couple things that it doesn't fuck with. So I would go with Phoenix for comics.
Okay.
But I'll have Justin maybe clear that part up after he's done with his movie versions.
Yeah, very good. Very good detail. Justin, you're up next, sir.
So I'll start with the movie, obviously. And up until this Doctor Strange 2, I would have given it to Phoenix any day of the week. Because Scarlet Witch was just kind of, oh, you know, the quote from Age of Ultron where he's fast and she's weird. Like, they didn't have, like, any understanding of who she was power-wise. And she was just kind of like, she can maybe fuck with Jean Grey's mind, but Jean Grey's going to be like, well, okay, so I'm just going to go back into my mind and fuck with your mind inside of my mind, and then just, you don't stand a chance. But the way she was so OP in Doctor Strange Part Two, where I do feel like the way that she did Black Bolton was just insanely awesome. Like that scene,
clever.
Yeah, it was just like, because they were like, because level setting power wise, Black Bolt opens his mouth and kills Doctor Strange.
Real quick before we finish that thought, we forgot last time. How cool was that Black Bolt scene when he killed the one Strange?
Oh yeah, and it was so powerful because that's perfect transition because he was just all he had to do was open his mouth and whisper, and Doctor Strange is poof done. There's nothing Strange could have done, and yet when Wanda is faced with the same situation, she just snaps her fingers and you ain't got no mouth no more.
Yeah,
and then he tried. Which is so Sam Raimi. It was so perfect. So I do give it to Scarlett in the movies because I think they did an excellent job of really creating a power set for her that the Phoenix just they don't really touch on in the X-Men movies.
Okay. What about the comic book versions?
Aren't they both mutants?
They are both mutants. So
this is like
I
right up your alley.
So I'm torn because I think if they're head to head battling, Phoenix wins without a doubt. She just swallows. She just becomes full white crown and just destroys Scarlet Witch. But if you compare what they do in the comics and all Scarlet Witch has to do is just mumble no more mutants, then where is Jean Grey?
Right.
So I don't know. I'm going to call it a draw.
Mm. Okay.
Because each has an advantage over the other in certain circumstances. So I don't know. Maybe we put them in a situation like we did with Cloud and Link, and then we tee it off from there.
Yeah, I mean, you bring up a good point. Like she just whispers the words, and technically Jean Grey should disappear, be no more, or she would no longer be in that reality. I don't know how far that reaches, if it's across all universes or just this one.
You always wonder, does her power, is it that strong to stop like Jean Grey? Because I know when Scarlet Witch did her thing, it didn't affect Galactus. So there's like some things that are out there that it affects and some that it doesn't.
Well, here's a question. So wouldn't Jean Grey be able to, like, read Scarlet Witch's mind? Like, that's one of her powers, right? Just so I'm correcting myself. Like, she can hear her thoughts,
Jean Grey's
right?
Power. That's Jean Grey's mutant power.
Right.
The Phoenix is something that took over. Jean Grey doesn't also have the Phoenix power. The Phoenix is a thing.
Yeah.
It's an entity.
A universe that, like... But she seems to be the only one who can really kind of control it.
Because I was thinking, like...
Kind of like Venom with Eddie Brock.
Yeah. I was thinking, like, couldn't Wanda get inside the Phoenix's head? Or Dark Phoenix, or whatever the fuck we want to call it. Even a chance?
Dude, I say no.
Okay. She doesn't do her little spooky witch scene into Phoenix's ear?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to work on Jean.
And say, ooh,
in either versions.
You're like
so Fox. Isn't Jean the most powerful psychic, even more so than Xavier?
I think so. I mean, there's a lot of powerful ones, even like the White Queen is powerful, and there's a lot of psychics in the Hellfire Club that are extremely powerful, but Professor X trumps them, and then Jean Grey just has a little bit more, and then the Phoenix entity comes in. And what's so cool, though, is to take it back to Avengers versus X-Men, is the Phoenix Five become a thing that the Avengers, like the Phoenix Force, takes over Cyclops and Colossus and Magic and Jean Grey and I think Namor? Don't matter. But and then the Avengers are just like, that's the whole crux of that comic arc, is they just like, y'all are just overpowered and we need to do something about this.
Yeah, and that brings me to a quick side quest, not to keep going on and on about Multiverse of Madness, but, you know, I understand, it seems to me that she had to die in this because ultimately she's so powerful now that any new movie that comes up where it's basically
she's
like,
well, a couple of rocks killed her.
Well, that's my thing. That's my thing. That's my thing is, my side quest is, do we really think she's dead? And I get it from a story standpoint. They probably have to try this because if you think about it, like Scarlet Witch versus Gore the God Butcher, from what I've read, is that she could just tear him up pretty quickly. So I get it. These are all separate movies and they don't really cross over, but how can she just die from a pile of rubble? That's bullshit.
Because she's not dead.
and even if she is dead, she's only dead in that universe.
Right. Yes. And all right, another mini side quest on top of that one. Like, do we like that idea that they're all like the same looking person? Because like, obviously Loki introduced variants, and they're all different looking, right? One's a fucking alligator, one's a little boy.
There was other ones that looked like them.
So I'm just thinking now, like in this Multiverse of Madness, all we saw were fucking Benedict Cumberbatches across land and Elizabeth Olsen's.
I didn't like that.
So like, how are they going to play this now? And I wasn't a big fan of that either. I'm just like, now they have both directions they can go. They could just pull some random guy off the street and say, oh, hey, look, it's Tony Stark. And it's just some black dude. And it ends up actually being Robert Downey Jr. like Tropic Thunder. But anyway.
It would be really cool if there was other Ant-Mans, but they all act the same way. It's just all Paul Rudd. And there's no difference in any of that.
Just like, oh, wow, cool. Good looking guy. Oh, hey, you too. God.
It's just Paul Rudd. Every universe, he's an anomaly. They're like, no, sorry, man, you're the same in literally every universe.
So, but I think we touched on this a little bit, Jeff, when we were discussing with that. But what they did either confirms or doesn't confirm that John Krasinski is always going to be Reed Richards. Like, right. So when the Fantastic Four movie, the leak came out recently that said, like, here's the new schedule of films to be released, and Fantastic Four is still on it. Is this a confirmation?
After the movie, he became even more where people are like, we really now want him.
Could have been a trial run. What do you think, Justin? I mean, were they just testing it to see how much people talked about it?
I don't know, because then comparatively, when you look at what they did with the Spider-Man movie with the three different Spider-Mans, they were all different actors.
Exactly. Yeah. And
there's no clarity. In my opinion, maybe they know where they're going, but they've given no indication to us.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I love John Krasinski. Like, I get what he's doing with, like, you know, transitioning from, I don't want to be known as Jim Halpert forever, right? Like, he's stuck in that bubble.
The Quiet Place, he's...
No, I get that, but, like, he did, like, an army movie for Michael Bay. Like, I just don't...
Jack Reacher, which I guess is pretty popular.
I just can't take him seriously as a serious actor. When he was sitting up there talking about incursions and everything, like, trying to look buff and act like he worked out for this movie, like... I don't know. Part of me is just like, what is he doing up there? Like, he, you know, I get it. It's cool. And people wanted him and what Emily Blunt is like, him and Sue Storm. But I don't know. I personally kind of want some like new no name actors. I feel like Marvel's getting way too big into just being like, oh, wait, who's an actor that we haven't had in a Marvel movie yet? Ooh, let's get, you know, whoever the fuck knows, Chris Rock. And he can be some white queen from who knows where planet. Just to, like,
what the fuck are you talking
just
about?
To get
there, you know, I think they picked John Krasinski because people thought he looked like Mr. Fantastic and had the same like mannerisms, talking. I don't think they're just randomly choosing.
Well, because that's what they did with
they picked because and even in his real life he almost portrayed Tony Stark as a real person. I don't think they're just throwing whatever at it.
But if you just a comparative sake for the last Fantastic Four movie, what they did, they brought in Miles Teller and Michael B. Jordan, and I don't even remember the other characters because it was just shit.
Yeah,
no, they had to make that just to hold on to the rights part of the deal.
They did.
So
I would have rather have had like a version from that movie or from the 2003 version or even the 1991 version of Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah. Well, if you think about it now, like Marvel, I'm not saying they painted themselves into a corner, but if they release the cast for Fantastic Four, and let's just say it is insert any other actor's name, people are probably going to be like shitting on it so quick. What? No, John Krasinski, he was so great in Multiverse of Madness. What? I'm never going.
Krasinski and Emily Blunt. It's just it's who's going to be Johnny Storm or whatever in the Rock Man.
I hope Chris Evans reprises his role.
Like,
just sneaks back in. Ooh, I'm Johnny. What's his fucking name? I think you just messed up. Johnny Blaze, Johnny right? Storm. Or is Johnny. That fucking? Is that Ghost Rider? Fuck. Justin's just sitting over there like, these fucking idiots.
you're confusing Human Torch and Ghost Rider really quickly. And the Rock guy's name is The Thing. Yeah. Not The Rock Guy.
He's a Rock Man.
It's Dwayne Johnson, idiots. It'll be cool to see where they go. But I honestly, it'd be cool to also have like some fresh faces out there that, you know, like I enjoyed America Chavez, but all she did was like, scream and half cry and like run away the entire movie, and I'm like, she was really good at emotional acting, but like she brought nothing else to the table. It was cool to see a fresh face, but like, I don't know, man, sometimes you just gotta shake it up and throw something in there. But god, how do those
shaking and baking it?
I'm just curious though, if you're an actor, if you guys were actors, I feel like I'd be terrible at keeping secrets. Like all of them got in a room with you know, Professor X and John Krasinski and Cat, you know,
did you even
Captain
read
Elizabeth Carter? Olsen? The what?
Elizabeth Olsen never even met half of them.
Oh, I bet you didn't.
They're not all in the same room. They keep them all separate. Half of them don't even know what's going on. Yeah, they're not all in the same room.
Well, the one thing that I appreciated, I never watched the Inhumans series, but they got the same actor from that piece of shit. Like one season series, and they put Ansel, whatever his name is, in there, and I was like, oh, that's okay. I appreciate it.
Yeah, give it that. And the one thing that pissed me off was there's a fucking seventh chair up there, if you count Xavier's chair being, you know, by itself. But like, there was another chair up there that was empty the whole time. I'm like,
you know who that was? It's Bruce Wayne.
Oh yeah. Oh,
you're talking in another universe.
Yeah. It was Adam West as a ghost.
Wayne Payne train.
So good.
Yeah, Bruce Wayne.
God, could you imagine that if it was just Batfleck up there, like, and they're like, listen, man, we can't understand you. You don't have to do the voice. We know who you are.
But seriously, would it not have been Doctor Strange's chair?
Maybe. Because
he was a part of the group, and then they blasted him into oblivion with
Squirrel, the most powerful character in Marvel.
They didn't have any tryouts, you know. I don't know. You would think they
What was the guy from Deadpool 2's name? Just Todd or whatever.
Yeah. God, I love the invisible guy. It was Brad Pitt for like a split second. He got paid so much money.
Exploded.
Yeah. So good, so good. All right, boys, I want to move on to our next segment. We're doing a segment extravaganza. Let's keep going.
Let's-a-go
is right. I want to talk about a little Game Boy game, this little tiny thing that didn't really make too big of an impact on the world, but way back in September 28th, 1998, God, what is that, like 30-something years ago? Fuck we old. A little game called Pokemon Red and Blue. Well, I think we all played it or owned it. And green. There's a Pocket Monsters version. But I think we all played it and owned it. And this was like, for some of us, kind of that first real big taste into, I don't know, Jeff, shall we call it a RPG back then? I guess it was.
Very
right?
Close to Ocarina of Time. So it was right around there.
So some really big decisions had to be made right off the bat. I mean, Jeff, why don't you walk some listeners through who might not know too much about Pokemon, like what this decision meant to you and your friend circle and just what your life was going to be like in general?
Well, we all had our little Game Boys, and at the time, the Game Boy games were pretty simple. I mean, it was a cool little handheld device, but none of the games really had saved. There was no RPGs on it. For the most part, I think there was like kind of a ported Zelda, but it wasn't like the original, and it was, you couldn't really see it, like, because there was no backlight. And, so outside of that, you had, you know, you had the Super Nintendo, which we all had, and Sega and stuff, but there was really no good RPG that you could really focus on. It was just these little games that you, like a phone game, where you'd play for like 20 minutes and that was it.
Yeah.
And then Japan changed everything.
Yeah.
They took their card game, which was getting very popular, and then they're like, we're going to put it on the Game Boy, and it's going to be this RPG. You can collect 150 of these things. You can level them up. You can change their abilities, and just going on full-on RPG game. So when you got the Game Boy and you got this thing, you're like, this is an investment. This is a game we'll be playing for, a couple of years.
Right.
And then you found out, you can also trade with your friends, because this version will have 10 different Pokemon. Then the other version will have 10 different that you don't have. So you had to buy the fucking cord and hope to God that the thing worked. And you would trade them, and it was like an RPG. It was this long game, and it was also a collection thing all on your just handheld. It was fucking awesome. And I remember when all my brothers and I got it, this is all we did was just, parents would be like, it's summer, you gotta go sit out, you gotta go play outside. We're like, fine, take the Game Boy. And just sat on the driveway. We had plenty of sunlight so you could see that shitty screen. And we'd collect Pokemon. It was great.
That's, yeah. And to be honest, you know, when you first boot that game up, you got to choose one of three Pokemon. Bulbasaur, Squirtle, or Charmander. And that was like, ooh, shit. If I screw up now, the rest of the game is going to be dog shit. But big choices there. And, then you just kind of stroll into town and you meet with all the people and you just kind of escape in this little Game Boy game, and sure enough, every like 25 feet, you run into a wild Pokemon. You try to capture it. You got to go heal them. You got to let them go sleepy night night. You got to feed them some potions and get some food. Go into caves. Then you find a bike. Then you go over the water. Oh, this was like you said, it was kind of like every chance you got to try to pick this game up and play it. It was the go-to game. Everybody's talking about it. And that fucking cord you just talked about. Oh, my God. It's like a 6.5-inch cord. So you literally need to be, like, sitting on your friend's lap. Like, hey, are the cords connected? Oops. Canceled. and you just gotta... You can fight each other. But this is, like, for real fighting. Like, you are pitting your Pokemon against your friends. And if they get knocked out, like, you... Some people probably lost friendships because of it. Like, dude, really? That was my Gyarados. And you just have to go back to town. I got to heal it. And it's, you know, it's going to be, someone's going to talk about it forever and you're going to be a loser. So it was a much, much fun time. Justin, what about you, sir? Any thoughts, memories?
Well, first of all, love, hate. First of all, I just, it reminded me of the story. Do you guys remember Pogs?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember playing Pogs just a little side quest really quick and stealing a friend's blue metal slammer because I had a great throw, and he started crying, and the teacher came over and she's like, what's the matter? And I was like, this is now my slammer. And the kid was like, I don't want to lose it. And she's like, well, you shouldn't have lost it. You shouldn't have bet it. And so I got like a badass blue slammer. We were wild back then.
Yeah, dude. I forgot what mine was called. It was like a pink, what was it? It was a Bigfoot pink bubblegum slammer, and it smelled like bubblegum. I loved that.
Ooh,
thing.
Jeff, what was your slammer of choice?
It was just this big, gold-looking, thick, just piece of metal. And it just, sometimes it would just break the damn pogs. And people were like, what the hell is that? I remember it had this little like slot for your thumb. And it was so overkill. I forgot what it said on top of it, but damn, did I love that thing.
Damn. But yeah. Pokemon related. I didn't get into Pokemon until a little bit later. My little brother was super into the cards, and I remember like we would ride bicycles to the card store and buy the packs, and like I'd like encourage him to do whatever the cards were. I first got into Pokemon on Game Boy in college when I was gifted a blue Game Boy handheld, not the Ghetto Boy, the little boy. with Pokemon Red, and I've played through it probably 4 or 5 times in my adult life. I recently gifted it to my nephew, who was grounded from playing video games. Like, he couldn't touch anything. And I was like, listen, guy, I was like, I got a Game Boy with Pokemon Red for you. He played it for fucking like 12 hours straight.
It was hard to put down. I mean, that's what a lot of people listening right now, if you're in that age range where this is sounding like, what are these fucking old people talking about? Like, again, like Jeff mentioned, these were on the Game Boys that didn't have a backlight to it. So we were like stuck playing it during the daytime, or you would have this little clamp on lamp, this little mini like LED lamp that you would shine on it and wait until, you know, you'd hear your parents come, and then you put it under your pillow and pretend you're sleeping. Then you bust it back out and play some more. So, I mean, this was like what we had, and this was portable. So obviously, in most households, there's maybe one TV, maybe two TVs, and if there was a console or a Nintendo that you're playing, like, you're not playing that shit after 7 or 8 o'clock at night. Like, you gotta go to bed. You gotta get tucked in. So this was like, you know, having that Nintendo Switch in bed, and like that's what we had. And like Justin, like you said, you just fucking play it for hours and hours and hours, and then you wake up and gotta go to school, and maybe you're allowed to bring it, maybe you're not. I don't know. But
like Tamagotchis.
Like Tamagotchis indeed. Fuck. Yeah, so that's obviously everybody knows the story from then on, right? Pokemon Red and Blue sparked that huge worldwide sensation. Now there's movies. Now there's plush toys. Now there's, you know, how many other Game Boy games after that? I mean, Jeff, when we went to Colorado, we've told the story before on the podcast, but we were buying like Diamond and Pearl back in like late, you know, 2009 or 10 or some shit like that. Now, even to this day, Sword and Shield, you know, countless movies and games, and just Pokemon Go. Who could forget when we all exercised for 10 days and then we fucking turned it off.
I was going to say that was it was a big week.
I swear. All right. Real quick side quest, because I know I think we all installed Pokemon Go. I mean, who didn't? I've been living in this town for 10 years now. And that was the first time I went to this local park, because that's where like the hive was of like the, what was it, like the Pokemon station, or where a lot of heavy activity was. And you could just walk around in circles and get a bullshit. So that game allowed me to go see the park. I didn't really look at the park. I walked around staring at my phone, but it was nice to get out for a few days and like get some of that fresh air and exercise. Congratulations.
The first time that I pulled my phone out at the Geneva Commons, and there was a gym or whatever, like at the, in the center of it, and I was surrounded by children, I was like, yeah, I'm doing something wrong in life.
Hey kids, we got any super Pokeballs, super sleepy ones that we can get the big boys? Jeez. Oops. Okay. Woo, sir. We're going to need you to come with us. Jeff, you played Pokemon Go, didn't you?
Pokemon Go?
Yeah, the mobile app?
Oh, yeah, that, yeah. Yeah, I remember when it came out in the city, everyone was walking into street signs, and the street was like this rage. It was nuts. We were all outside. We were like, I remember like two of my buddies and I were just aimlessly walking around, just trying to catch Pokemon, and people on the street being like, there's a Gyarados down there! There's a Gyarados down there! And everyone's running over. These are adults. Like, these are grown-ass adults. And it was fun. It was cool.
So there's another little side quest off of that. There was a brief period in the marketing world where businesses were leveraging Pokemon Go for marketing purposes.
Ooh.
So it would be like, come, we've got a Snorlax at our restaurants. You happy hour from 4 to 6, catch a Snorlax, grab a drink.
Oh my God. Just
catch you on the coast. And it was a thing. It was legit a thing for like a brief minute.
Yeah. And I swear places were like paying Pokemon Go to make their place a gym, because in the Chicagoland area, if you're not familiar, like Portillo's is like the biggest burger hot dog joint chain that's like, you know, home to Chicago, let's say. I know it's across the U.S. now, but it started here, asshole, so it's ours. But there was one in Schaumburg, and, like, the only two Pokemon gyms, one was like, I don't know, almost at like a car dealership. But then this other one was at a Portillo's. And like, they get so much traffic already, but you could just see half the people there weren't even eating food. So either it backfired or they paid a lot of money to make it happen. And some people came in and bought food. But I mean, I went there to eat and I was like, oh shit, this is a gym. Okay, cool. Let's see what we can do here. But half the crowd there, just nobody gave a fuck. They like shared one water, cup of water, and they just kept doing their gym thing, training their Pokemons.
Jeez.
So good. So good. Well, everybody go out there, get some exercise, get some fresh air. I wonder if like there's anything else that's going to do that. I mean, that how they have accomplished to do that with just getting everybody to go outside, like hats off to them. I don't think that can ever be done again. No one can capture that again, I don't think.
That's like saying when the iPad came out, or the iPod, they'll never revolutionize anything ever again. And then, oh, we've got touchscreen phones. I mean,
yeah,
you can't think of it now. It doesn't mean it's something like
that. I'm surprised they haven't done a VR Pokemon game yet. I know they're not quite in that, I guess, space, because obviously they're kind of dedicated to the Nintendo system, but curious if they're ever going to do like a VR Pokemon. That would be pretty sweet. I feel like I could do a battle or something, right? Like at a gym. That'd be fun. Just
do whatever you want.
Grab a Pokeball off your belt and chuck it and just like watch it turn into this giant dinosaur. Damn. I'm on to something here.
You're talking like augmented reality.
Well, you know, yeah, we could figure that out too. We just need a couple $1 million and, you know, lots of time. So we'll figure it out. We'll make tons of money. And yeah. All right, boys, that's all we got. We're going to wrap this bad boy up like a little gift to all of your earlobes. Get it in there. We appreciate everybody listening. You can support us by going out to the internet and finding us and liking our shit. Give us a follow. Tell your friends about us. Let us know what we suck at, because we enjoy that feedback. I mean, give us a little pat on the back, a little round of applause. But, you know, if you want to hear something new, different, let us know. We are going to be working on some new segments here in the upcoming week or so, and we're going to bust them all down and bring them to you. So be on the lookout for that fun stuff. Jeff, at some point, maybe in 2022, we'll upload some YouTube's videos. We'll get there. No rush. But beyond that, boys, how shall we end tonight's episode?
Well, we can do our favorite Pokemon noises.
Yeah, I was thinking similar.
Okay.
Or who's everyone's favorite Pokemon?
Oh, God. What's the... I like... well, not favorite. I guess I got to go with, like, noises, too. Like, some of them are... like, Butterfree is so stupid, like, that noise. But Jigglypuff's also annoying. I don't know. That's a tough one.
They say is they're just their name.
All right, I'll be Gyarados, because I always end up being Gyarados.
Time out. Let's reverse this and say there's a multiverse where the three of us are Pokemon, and the Pokemon are the trainers that capture us. So when you are captured and thrown into battle, Eric and Jeff, what's your noise?
Okay, I'll go first. Eric!
My name Jeff.
It's always got to be a fart.
You're going to say Justin at the end of it.
Justin.